I understand we're not having special music today, is that right? I don't want to jump the gun, correct?
Unless you want to do it.
I don't have anything to sing. Better not this time. If you take your Bibles, it's good to be here. I thank you for the opportunity and want to continue to pray for Jeff as he suffers through this day. I understand he's at the golf course, is that correct? Oh, Hilton, maybe. Hilton, but he's there too, yeah. He's not? Oh, okay. He's driving. Oh. Now I was going to really rib him about that, and I can't do it. You took my joy away. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's turn, if you would, this morning as we stand together, Matthew chapter 6. The Lord Jesus gave us some powerful words in this chapter about a problem that you have. I'm going to speak this morning to a sin that's in your life that sometimes we really don't deal with. It's in mine too. Some of you had a real problem with this. Others of us have had a real problem in the past, and we still have some of it. And hopefully some of you have grown so much in the Lord that you kind of got a handle on it, but be careful because it'll pop back up before you know it. It's called worry. Anybody worry? You do. Worry is the opposite of faith. And that's why the Bible has so much to say about it. And we all fight it. None of us are above it. It's a struggle that we have. And Jesus helps us, I think, to understand not only what we ought not do, but he gives us a cure for worry too from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning verse 24. No one can serve two masters or two lords, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. Money is the number one thing that most people worry about somewhere along the line. Jesus said, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you have the King James, it has the word anxious. Means the same thing. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, or it's burned up, it dies, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful today again for blessings. We thank you for the day that we can worship. And Father, we just pray today, Lord, that you will help us in our human nature, in our weaknesses. Help us in those attacks from the devil, Lord, about the issue of faith, and strengthen our faith. Help us not to worry as those without hope do. Lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I guess one of the things that a lot of folks worry about, parents, it's natural. All of us at one time or another worried about our kids. Amen? You will. I read this not too long ago. Listen to this and see what you would do if this letter was written to you. This is written by a young scout. His scout troop has gone on a retreat. So listen to his words as he writes this letter to his mom. Dear Mom, our scoutmaster told us to write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and got worried. We're okay, only two of our tents and four sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were up on the mountain looking for Jeff when it happened. Oh, yes, please call Jeff's mom and tell her he's okay. He can't write because of the cast on his arm. I got to ride in one of those search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Scoutmaster Webb got mad at Hector for going on a hike alone without telling anybody. Hector said he did tell him, but it was during the lightning. You probably didn't hear him. Do you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of the tents did. Also, some of our clothes. Larry is going to look weird until his hair grows back. We will still be on home Saturday, hopefully, if Scoutmaster Webb gets the truck fixed. Wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked off okay when we left. Scoutmaster Webb said a truck that is old as his expects something to break down once in a while. That's why he doesn't have insurance on it. He doesn't care if we get dirty and it's hot, and sometimes he lets us ride on the tailgate. Gets pretty hot with all 10 kids riding in the back of an old broken down pickup truck with the tailgate down. Scoutmaster Webb, though, is a neat guy. Don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching little Tommy how to drive. He only lets him drive on the mountain roads, on our vehicles up there, log trucks anyway. All we ever see up here are log trucks. This morning, all the guys were diving off the rocks and swimming in the lake. Scoutmaster Webb wouldn't let me because I can't swim, and Jeff was afraid he would sink because of that cast on his arm. So he let us take a canoe ride. But he's a neat guy. He didn't get crabby when he found out we didn't have any life jackets in those canoes. He didn't even get mad about it. We've all passed our first aid merit badges. When Rob dove into the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. I'm okay now, but after supper, Tommy Henson and I threw up. Scoutmaster Webb said it probably was just the food poisoning from the leftover chicken that he had eaten and that we had eaten. He said they got sick like that a lot of times when he was in prison. Don't worry about anything, Mom. We're fine. Love, your son, Dave. How would you like to get a letter in the mail like that from your kids on a retreat? Now, that might be a little something to worry about. Do a lot of praying over that. Worry is a battle for us. But really, the issue of worry is this, and that's what we want to try to help all of us a little bit from what Jesus is saying about worry. Worry really is a control problem, isn't it? When we worry about things, we don't have control over it. Somebody else does, or nobody does, supposedly. But it's really an issue of control. And the real issue that Jesus is speaking about when he says we ought to first seek the kingdom of God is that who's in charge anyway? If you're saved by God's grace, you've repented of your sin, you've asked Jesus to come into your life as your personal Savior, if you know Him and He's your Savior today, and you're saved by His grace and you know that, who is in charge of your life? Who is? The Lord still is if you're His kid. Now listen, if you're not His kid and you've never come to know Jesus, you've never invited Him into your life as your Savior, you don't have anybody in control, do you? Do you? Although, I remember when I was lost, I tried to take control, made a mess of things. Either you are in control, somebody's in control, or the Lord is in control in the believer's life. And if you're a believer, that's exactly what the point is in verse 33. There's a problem of worry that's obvious. Jesus spoke of it in verses 24 through 32. You can go on the internet. There are 165,000 articles written about worry. That's a lot. I don't think anybody's gone through all of those. You can worry about colon cancer all the way down to the lyrics of Worried Blues. You can find something in life to worry about. Amen? And if you can't find anything, the devil will give you something to worry about. And that's for sure. Some psychologists say that over 90% of the things that we have a tendency of worrying about never come true anyway. That's true. Worry and fear is nonetheless a Satan tool. And you got to understand that. Amen? Worry and fear is a tool the devil loves to use on you and on me, especially lost people. But he also attacks believers to try to damage our faith, to try to weaken our faith, to try to take us away from our trusting in the Lord. Worry is sinful. There's no doubt about that. It produces fear. It's not from the Lord. It can cause physical illness. That is a fact. The Mayo Clinic has said over time that over 70% of the people that they get into the clinic could walk out the door if they could somehow deal with their stresses and worries of life. It is a medical fact that worry causes physical problems. It also can cause mental issues as well. Worry borrows trouble that can never be paid back. It's concerned with what might happen, not what will happen. It will steal your faith, your peace, your trust, your joy. It will steal your faith in the Lord Jesus. It will steal your faith in your Heavenly Father. Listen, God has not made His children orphans. Amen? He never has. He's a good Father. We need to hear the words of what the Lord Jesus had to say about the issue of worry. Fears and worry are a part of American life almost. Finances, jobs, health, time, parenting, education, crime, war, personal relationships. The fact is, however, that we in America worry about a lot of things that a lot of folks in other parts of the country don't worry about. We don't worry a whole lot about where our next meal's coming from, do we? We don't worry much about what we're going to wear because we have no clothes or our next drink of water. There are so many parts of the world that have those as their main worries, unlike us. But we worry about a million other things. But the issue is still the same. Who do we really trust? Who do we depend upon? I've heard, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've heard Christians say, "I'm not worried, preacher, I'm concerned." Well, sometimes it's the same thing. But the issue about concern is worries about a problem. But concern tackles the problem. Concern wants to be a part of the process. It doesn't lay over there worried about something that's going to do something about it. Pray about it. Seek the Lord's will. Use your gifts. A thousand other things. A worried person only sees the problem, never sees the solution. I heard about this guy talk about his wife. He said, for 10 years now, my wife can't hardly sleep at night because there have been a few houses in our neighborhood that were burglarized, and she is scared to death that a burglar is going to come into the house. And so one night, sure enough, a couple years later, a burglar got in. Well, he heard something going on downstairs. The husband was home not working that night, so he went down. There's a burglar down there. And he said, "Would you please just stop what you're doing for 5 seconds?" The burglar was shocked about that. He said, "I want you to come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been worried about you for years." We laugh about worry sometimes. We make jokes about worry sometimes. But it is a real issue, is it not, between us and the Lord when it comes to our faith and our trust in the Lord. We worry about church. We worry about our kids. We worry about what they're being taught. We worry about what we're eating. We worry about the sun. We worry about a million things. Sometimes, if not most of the time, it can steal your joy away. The real burglar is the devil. And he loves to make us worry about things because we will trust less in our Heavenly Father. That can only do damage to you spiritually. It's been said that worry cannot produce a better tomorrow or change yesterday. It can spoil a good day, though, can it not? Worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you won't get anywhere. That's true, too. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two lords. When it comes to money, which most Americans, that's the number one thing most Americans worry about, is money. Have enough money to pay the bills, do all this other stuff. Buy a car, live in it, whatever. Money. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. One's going to be your master, one or the other. Is it the money? Is that your master? Because God's not first in your life and you don't give and share with Him in His work? Is that number one? Is your wallet your God? Or is God our God? Amen? It's one or the other. Jesus said you can't serve God and money, or God and mammon, as the King James says. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or whether you have anything to eat or drink, your body. Don't worry about this old body. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about even adding any inches to your height, because you can't do that either. He says, don't worry. It's real simple. That's what Jesus said. Verse 34 said, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble tomorrow without you worrying about it. Amen? Can't change it anyway, can you? But guess what? God can. Amen? God can. And we have to remember that. The Bible says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Amen. Is that true? Do you really believe that? If you're saved by God's... Now, if you're not saved, you better get saved in a hurry, because you got a lot to worry about. That's not a trying to force you to, but I know I've been down that road. No, Steve, you have too. But if you're saved today, why worry? The Bible says God is still there. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm still here. Amen? He's not going to leave. You are not an orphan as a child of God, nor will you ever be. You're His. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're His kid. If you're truly saved and you know that in your heart today, you're His. And nothing is going to change it. So we need to trust Him. We need to depend upon Him. Oh, I know the worry says, no, no, God might not help you. God might forget about you. He might not answer your prayers. Sin is harmful to the body, because sin is a lack of faith. So Jesus shares the problem of worry, which we all have had once in a while. I still do. You might later. I don't know. All of us struggle with it. Amen, church? We do. That's why Jesus spoke of it. But then He gives a cure for it. Look at verse 33 again. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's a real simple verse. Jesus also said one time, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Why put God first? If you're saved, He is your life. Amen? He is your life. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. He's your God. He's your helper. He's your strength. He's your peace. He's your joy. He is everything. And if He's everything, why do we spend so much time worrying about stuff that maybe you forget that God's got you in His hand? That He knows how many hairs are on your head. Amen? He knows your heart. He knows your needs before you ever ask. Oh, we're just sometimes so foolish, aren't we, when it comes to this? We just wallow around in lack of faith. But Jesus talked about the cure in these verses, especially in John 14. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in Him by our prayers. The fervent, effectual, righteous prayer of a righteous man availeth much. About how we think in our heads and think in our minds. When the worry comes, you got to remember, when worry comes, that is a direct temptation from the devil right off the bat. Comes right up here, amen? This is where he attacks us. And you got to think about that. Sometimes we forget, but we got to remember, whoa, wait a minute. Why am I worried about that? First of all, that's an attack from Satan, to try to drive you away from the Lord, to keep you from trusting Him. You got to know, we all have to know where it comes from. So we got to have the right mind and think about things like God does. But we have to also take action. Jesus said, oh, those of little faith, because they worry about so much. It's a matter of trust. Now, I want to do something I don't think I've ever done. Somebody look up Philippians 4:19. I want you to remember this. I want you to mark it down. This is all of our verses when it comes to worry. And when somebody has it, I want them to stand and read this passage. Everybody listening, everybody, if you have your Bibles, mark it down. Philippians 4:19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ.
So why worry? God already knows our needs. He knows our hurts. He knows our issues. He knows our problems. He knows our sins. Why do we do that when God is going to supply all of our wants? Didn't say wants, does it? And that's where we have a battle sometimes, because we get them mixed up. God will supply all of our needs according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus, who can do anything. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We don't have to waste our time on worry. Don't let the devil steal from you, because that's what he'll do. The word trust, when Jesus talks about trusting him, is to be confident. It's confidence. It's a sure thing. It's boldness. We can put our trust in him. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I love Romans 8:28. We've read it so many times. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? That's the key. If you love God, God already loves us. What does he say? He will work all of it out for his glory and purpose. Amen? We got to trust that. We got to believe that. Man, when things go haywire in my own head and I'm tempted, that's my verse. I have to read it over and over and over again sometimes to drive the old temptation away. Romans 8:28. God still loves me. He loves you. He's going to take care of John Green. He's going to take care of you too. Amen? Regardless of whether it's illness, regardless of whether it's kid, whatever, it doesn't matter. I like what Mickey Rivers said one time. You may not know him, but he was a baseball star for the Texas Rangers one time, and I used to see him play on TV once in a while. But he said this about worrying. Here's a real theological aspect to worrying. He said, ain't no sense worrying about things you got no control over, because if you got control over them, ain't no sense in worrying about them. And there ain't no sense in worrying about things you got no control over either, because if you got no control over them, ain't no sense worrying. Not the greatest English in the world, but his point is made. Amen? It is really so simple. Listen to the scripture, Psalm 55:16. In God I put my trust, I will not fear what flesh or man may do unto me. Proverbs 3:5, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in him. We trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. The word hope is so misunderstood in the scriptures. We have all these hopes and we have all these things we hope for, and it's not the biblical word for hope. Now, I stand before you and I say this with all the sincerity of my heart. I hope Duke wins the national championship this year. Amen. One amen. Another amen. Amen. Somebody offended by that? Yeah, Carolina. But see, that means they might not, right? That's not how the Bible uses the word hope. The Bible uses the word hope as a sure thing. It's going to happen what God says. It's a concrete statement. It's not like in English. The Bible wasn't written in English. Remember that. It's not like it is in English when we just hope we get it. We hope this. No. The Bible, when the Bible uses the word that my hope is in God, it is an anchor. It is secure, and nothing in the universe and not the devil or anything else or anybody else can change it. God's already settled the matter. I like that. We are saved by hope. The Bible says in his word, we hope. If you're lost today, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12 that you are without hope and without God in the world. Aliens like a shadow without hope. You have no hope because you don't have the Lord. He is hope. I know this. There's only one hope in this world that's an anchor, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? There is nothing else. You can't put hope in America's military, folks. Amen? You can't do that. You better put our hope in God. Amen? He's the only hope we have. He's the only hope you have in all of your circumstances and hurts and troubles and trials and tribulations. all the circumstances that you face every day. There is no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's all you need. That's all I need is a hope in Him. Hebrews says this, that He is our hope. He's our anchor. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, we're commanded not to be arrogant or to put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And that's true. The Bible says the poor have hope because He is. Things are going to change in our world when Jesus comes back. Amen? It's going to be different because He will reign. We can rejoice in the fact that we put our hope in His Word. It's impossible for God to lie. The Bible says that we are His children if we've come to know Him. John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right or the privilege to become the children of God. If you are a child of God because you've asked God to forgive you, if you invited Jesus into your life as your personal Savior, He has forgiven you, you are saved. You are His child. Amen? His child forever and ever and ever. Preacher, that's just so simple. Well, that's too bad because that's what Jesus said it was. Amen? It's just the way it is. He is God, our Savior, our hope. He's our peace. The Bible says He will hear us because of hope. He's our joy, our purpose in life, love in life. His unfailing love is our anchor. His unfailing love is our hope. Our bodies grow old and we get sick and we get tired and we leave this old world. But the Bible says there is hope for this old body because God's going to give us a glorified one. There is hope all around us in Christ. There is no hope hardly in the world. But there's plenty of hope in the Word of God. Amen? We can be joyful in hope, even in the midst of trouble. You know that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less? Remember that? How many of you know that one? Sing the lyrics with me. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Amen? The rock. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. How about you? Who do you trust in? Who's your hope built on? Before I met the Lord, my hope was built on me. I was going to make things happen. Things were going to be different. I was going to change this and do this. It doesn't work, does it? No. There is no hope in the world. There are millions of people getting up this morning wondering if there's going to be a nuclear war with North Korea. I remember tell you how old I am. Remember in the 60s going to school and they had to tell us, we had those alerts where you had to get up under the desk because they really thought missiles from Cuba was going to land on America. A lot of fear. How about you, brethren? Do you really know Jesus as your Savior today? Is your hope anchored in Him? Is it truly anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ? Your hope, and do you trust Him to forgive you of your sin? Do you trust Him to be what He ought to be, what He is, your Savior? Maybe you're still searching. Maybe there's an emptiness right here. It's going to be there till you find hope, His hope. Amen? Maybe today you're here and you're a believer. You know you're saved by God's grace, but the devil's beating you up. There's not a one of us that hadn't experienced that. We all need revival. Amen? We all need to be closer. There are times when all of us realize, oops, I messed up. I forgot about You, Lord. I didn't live for You today. I didn't give You glory today. I'm sorry. But God's love is so wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
He just reaches down like the Heavenly Father, like with a godly dad. And He just says, I love you, son. I love you, kid. I love you. God loves you today. Don't waste your time worrying. Trust Him. Depend on Him. Let's pray together. Father, today during this invitation, we just pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And you know all of our hearts. You know what a struggle it is sometimes for us, Father, to walk with you the way we ought to. We all sin. We all fall short. But help us in this particular struggle with worry that we can trust you. That we really can put you first in our hearts and lives. If there's any today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, I pray, God, they'll come to you today that they might find that anchor to live by every day. Lord, strengthen us in our weaknesses. Strengthen our faith. Help us to get more in your word every day so that we can build on the word of God in our hearts and lives so that we can be stronger to resist the devil. But Lord, help us to believe the words of you, Lord, as you wrote to us in these verses. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you that you love us so much. If any heart maybe just needs to come today to receive Jesus, maybe we just need as believers today to come and pray at the altar. Lord, all of us are weak. And all of us, sometimes we just need you more than ever. Help us today to make that decision. In Jesus' name, amen.